यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय श्री श्री राधा दामोदर की जय श्री श्री राधादास बिहारी की जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान की जय श्री श्री गौरंगजय की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय समस्त गौर भक्तवृंद की जय निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 10 entitled Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees, text 10. Deva samagyatam api ante krimi vidbhasma samgitam भूतदृक् तत्कृते स्वार्थम् किं वेद निरयो यतः देवासंगितम् अपि अन्ते क्रिमि विद्भस्म संगितम् भूतदृक् तत्कृते स्वार्थम् किं वेद निरयो यतः देवासमज्ञतम् अपि अन्ते किं क्रिमि विद्भस्म संगितम् भूतदृक् तत्कृते स्वार्थम् किं वेद निरयो यतः
Thank you.
वैष्णवी कृमि विद्भस्म संयुतम वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग देव समग्रितम द बॉडी नाउ नोन एज अ वेरी एग्जॉल्टेड पर्सन लाइक प्रेसिडेंट मिनिस्टर और इवन डेमिगॉड अपि इवन इफ द बॉडी इज सो एग्जॉल्टेड अंते आफ्टर डेथ क्रिमी turns into worms with or into stool bhasma samagitam or into ashes bhutadruk a person who does not accept the shastric injunctions and is unnecessarily envious of other living entities तत्कृते बाय एक्टिंग इन दैट वे स्व अर्थम सेल्फ इंटरेस्ट किम हु इज देयर वेद हु नोज निरय यतः बिकॉज फ्रॉम सच सिंफुल एक्टिविटीज वन मस्ट सफर हेलिश कंडीशंस Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. While living, one may be proud of one's body, thinking oneself a very big man, minister, president, or even demigod. But whatever one may be, after death, this body will turn either into worms, into stool, or into ashes. If one kills poor animals to satisfy the temporary whims of this body, one does not know what he will suffer to his next birth. For such a sinful miscreant must go to hell and suffer the results of his actions. Purport. In this verse, the three words, krimi, vit, bhasma, are significant. After death, the body may become krimi, which means worms, for if the body is disposed of without cremation, it may be eaten by worms, or else it may be eaten by animals like hogs and vultures, and be turned into stool. Those who are more civilized burn the dead body, and thus it becomes ashes, bhasma samagidam. Yet, although the body will be turned into worms, stool, or ashes, foolish persons, just to maintain it, commit more sinful activities. This is certainly regrettable. The human form of body is actually meant for jigyasa, tattva jigyasa, enlightenment in the knowledge of spiritual values. Therefore, one must seek shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Tasmat gurum prapadyata. One must approach a guru. Who is guru? Shabde parecha nishnatam. A guru is one who has full transcendental knowledge. Unless one approaches a spiritual master, one remains in ignorance. Acharyavan purusha veda. Chandogya Upanishad 6.14.2. One has full knowledge about life when one is Acharyavan, controlled by the Acharya. But when one is conducted by Rajogun and Tamogun, one does not care about anything. Instead, one acts like an ordinary foolish animal, risking his life, mrityu samsara vartamani, and therefore continuing to go through suffering after suffering. Na te vidu swartha gatim hi vishnum. Such a foolish person does not know how to elevate himself in this body. Instead, he indulges in sinful activities and goes deeper and deeper into hellish life.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalokya Chakshurunmildamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha.
Before I begin this session, I would seek the blessings of assembled Vaishnavas. In specific, I would take the blessings of Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Vishnumurti Prabhu, and His Holiness Ananta Krishna Maharaj, so I can speak something on this wonderful Bhagavatam. Today, at the end of this year, the last date of this year, we have come to this part of Bhagavatam, verse 10, 10.10.10. And as this wonderful Leela of Damodar Leela is going on, it is back again, it's grounding us to the very fact of this material life, that we are not these bodies. Purport is very, very significant, and in context to that purport, I'll be presenting some things to the limited time constraint which I have. It is said that when mind is polluted by fruitive activity, the living entity wants to be elevated from one material position to other material position. And by acting on that platform of fruitive activity, one wanders throughout the universe in different species and forms. So, and the more a person, the more the person wants to elevate oneself, the more he is driven by that rajogun, which makes him go for more of opulence, more of riches, so that he can enjoy life, he can live life to the fullest extent as he wants. Such people are termed in Bhagavatam as Nunam Pramatta Kurute Vikarma Yat Indraya Pritam Apanoti. Bhagavatam talks about it that Nunam Pramatta Kurute Vikarma. Being Pramatta, Pramatta means intoxicated. He is intoxicated, he is maddened by this rush that he wants to amass a lot of in this material existence. And behind this, he forgets about, sometimes he forgets about what's right, what's wrong, what's what we call as sinful and what we call as pious. He forgets all that because for him, the goal of life is to amass things which will give him immense happiness because he's in that rush. And the greatest happiness one gets is through post-position. The more his position is elevated, the more higher he feels will be his level of gratification, his level of the respect which he will receive, that gratifies his senses, that gratifies his mind. And so the whole rush goes on. So, yat indriya pritam apanoti. Apanoti. The aim of life then becomes only to satisfy one's senses. Senses include the mind, the five senses and the mind. So then that becomes the aim of one's life. And when once that becomes the aim of life, then he forgets what is sinful, what is not sinful. Because for him, that's it. How the people outside in the world, for them, today's world, it's like that. For them, it's only that, how I am going to get what I want. That's it. He doesn't care about any person in front of him. For him, there is nobody is important except his goal in life and how he wants to go above. And for that, he can put anybody down. He can kill anybody. For him, all those who come in that way is his enemies.
So that's how sometimes he adopts sinful activities.
Srila Prabhupada, he mentions about how these bodies, as much desire a person has, that much he gets into actions, and sometimes most of these actions are sinful. They are giving pain to other living entities, and because of which then he'll be wandering into the cycle of birth and death again and again, creating new life, a new species. 84 lakh species are there. It's not a surprise why we are every time going through one species after another, because there are so many desires in our mind, so many, because to fulfill all these desires, the Lord has to provide different species for that matter. Prabhupada is giving a wonderful example, because he wants to illustrate that point that any body you may get, it may be a body of a dog, a demigod to a dog, any bodies you may get. Everybody is provided four facilities. And what's that? Meat eating, intoxication, gambling, and sex, illicit sex. So these four facilities is given in every species of life, whatever it may be, from demigod to dog. Everybody gets these four facilities. But the most important point is that if you get these different bodies, then you will commit different sinful activities. And to the degree that you will commit the sinful activities, to that degree, the more the laws of nature will bind you more stronger. It's exactly like Srila Prabhupada gives the example of civil laws and criminal laws. In any society, we have civil laws and criminal laws. If you break a civil law, there is a punishment, but it is less to the level of any criminal activity which one does, and the criminal laws punish him more tighter. It's more stringent. So it's something like that. The more sinful you go, the more stricter, stringent are the laws of the nature. And that's how the more degraded we get, the more degraded species we enter in, and more we get bound by mode of ignorance, and because of that we are far away from the real goal of one's life. Sometimes these bodies itself are a source of misery. We think by getting different positions, by getting different better lifestyle, we will have a better life of enjoyment. But sometimes it's completely opposite. If you go in these big hospitals, you will come to know big people, lot of money, but they are suffering. Prabhupada gives an example of a person, a very very rich person in Kolkata. How he was suffering through some disease because of which he had lost his appetite. And he was sitting in his big mansion at the window, and through his window he was gazing on the people at the streets, and he saw one poor man taking a big fish along with him to his hut. And then he was thinking that, see this man, he's so happy, now he'll go to his small little hut, he will fry that fish, he'll eat so nicely, he'll taste it so nicely, and I here lost all the appetite, have no appetite, and I'm suffering here. Yeah. So that's how is the mentality of people. They feel that he's thinking that, you know, if I would have been in his place, at least I would have been poor, but at least I'll be enjoying fish. So that's how is the mentality of people. Even if you get higher to higher position, sometimes that position itself can bring misery to one's life. And a very significant point to today's world is today's modern world is, the scientists and many psychologists, they have analyzed that how today's world, especially the people living according to the Western standards, in them the maturity, they say that maturity comes almost at the age of 42. You'll be surprised how maturity comes by the age of 42. That's because the lives of
lives of these people are so molded that they never take things seriously. Like if you remember a few days back when Adbhut Hari Prabhu was giving classes, he gave an example of Rockefeller's son, that how he was living in that 5-star hotel and how he was there in a simple 3-star hotel. So they never will come to that point of understanding. Only they come to that understanding maybe when at that age of, when he is at 42, maybe his parents are gone or they're quite old to maintain him, whatever like that. Then he comes up on his own feet and he knows now I have to, you know, do things to carry on. Then only that maturity level comes up. Also, in a morning walk in Rome in 1974, Prabhupada talks about Adantar Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Punah Punash Charvita Charvananam. He says that when, whether you become demigod, you become a dog, he says, Punas Charvita Charvananam, we are doing again and again the same activity. Everybody is engaged in the same activities of illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. Prabhupada also gives that very famous example of the rich people, because he was seeing, you know, how people are busy going from one place to another place in the motor car, and he says whether the animal runs on the four legs and you run on those four wheels, it's the same thing, because finally the aim is these four activities: illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling. So it's the same thing whether you run on four legs or you run on the four wheels. And you may think it's advancement, but again, it's for the same purpose. So where is the advancement? If you think advancement is only in the way you do it, in a more polished way you do it, then that's completely wrong. Because the society, the human civilization, it should be molded in such a way that people will have the choice to think soberly about the truth of life. One should come to that point where he can ponder over this fact that what is the aim of my life. Seldom do we see any people like that in the world who ever go back in their life and think about that, what am I doing in life, what am I supposed to be, what am I running for. Very rarely we see such people around us who ever think about this, what's the aim of my life, what am I supposed to achieve, what's the truth behind. Of course, scientists are behind the same thing. They want to know the truth of life, but they try to see this truth in the objects around them, and they try to analyze it in different ways. But as Srila Prabhupada said, only when they receive, you know, thousands of Nobel Prizes will they ever come to that point to realize that, yes, behind everything is God. There is one very famous conversation with Srila Prabhupada. It's a very famous conversation of with Srila Prabhupada. I forgot the exact. It's somewhere in 1969 somewhere, where Srila Prabhupada is met by that very famous physicist. His name is Benford. And he's talking about a very significant point he's talking about with Srila Prabhupada. He's saying he's a physicist. He's trying to search about the truth of life. And he says to, he's asking Srila Prabhupada that actually we are trying hard to rationally understand the world, the mechanics behind it, everything. We are trying to understand rationally what's life, what's this whole world all about. But somehow we do not come to a final conclusion. Somehow we are puzzled. We are not coming to the ultimate conclusion. And Srila Prabhupada is very wonderfully explaining to him in that conversation that yes, that is because you are trying to understand, but you are not approaching to the person who actually knows the truth. If you approach the person who knows the truth, means a spiritual master, then only it will be revealed to you. And he's saying, but how will I know whom I am supposed to approach? Because everybody seems to be like that imperfect, because everybody is in search, and everybody is like that imperfect only. Whoever goes in search of the truth of life, he will somewhere at some point of time, he will have a problem, you know, it's like he's stuck, he cannot move forward. So in such a state, if we see everybody is imperfect in life, and Srila Prabhupada is saying, yes, everybody is imperfect. And he's saying that I am imperfect, the people, devotees sitting in this room, we are all imperfect. But we are approaching the ultimate guru, the ultimate spiritual master, and that is Krishna. He is the ultimate spiritual master, and he is giving us the knowledge. And Prabhupada is saying he is the ultimate teacher, and other all teachers, acharyas, have accepted him to be the ultimate teacher. And so we have accept, and so we are taking knowledge from him. And because we are taking knowledge from him, and we are talking only what he is talking, we are giving the message as it is. That is why we are perfect. So when you approach such a perfect person who has received through a perfect teacher, he himself has received from a perfect teacher the perfect knowledge given by the perfect guru, that is Krishna, then only will you know the aim of life, and your search for the metaphysical truth of life will come to a final conclusion. So that's what even in the purport Srila Prabhupada talks about. That if one wants to understand the aim of life, one needs to approach the guru. And whom should one inquire from? Even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about it. Upadakshanti te jnanam, jnanines tattva darshina. Tattva darshi. Who is a tattva darshi? The seer of the truth. Who has seen the truth. Who has realized the truth. To such a person, such a living entity, when you surrender, and you try to very humbly inquire from him, will he impart the right knowledge to you? And your search for the metaphysical truth will be completed. And one very important qualification they talk about of such a spiritual master is Sat Karma Nipuno Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharada. A Vaishnava Guru Nasyad Vaishnava Sva Pacho Guru. Means sat karma nipuno vipro. Even if such a learned person is called as a brahmana, and there can be many brahmanas in the society who are very very expert mantra tantra visharada. They may be very very expert in mantra tantra, reciting mantras, and by the whole Bhagavad Gita, whole many Vedic literatures may be by heart to him, but still if he is not a Vaishnava, then he is not a guru. And if somebody is coming from a dog-eating family, but he is a Vaishnava, he is following the principles of the Vaishnavism, then he is accepted a guru. And that's a very important, significant point here to be understood, that who is a guru? Not just one who is very expert in Mantra Tantra, but one who has a Vaishnav. And who is a Vaishnav? A Vaishnav is one who has surrendered his life to Krishna and Guru. He has accepted Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he understands, because that's the most important point. There are many, many people who talk about Bhagavad Gita, they recite Bhagavad Gita, it's by heart to them. But when we ask them the final conclusion of it, they can't give it. Many people, they have a problem accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they have not accepted the knowledge from Tattvadarshis. They have not surrendered to Tattvadarshi. Only a Tattvadarshi knows, understands and knows in truth that yes, Krishna is the Supreme God, Personality of Godhead. He is the ultimate Guru, and from he is the cause of all the causes. In this context of the Leela which is going on, if we see, Narad Muni acts just like this spiritual, a perfect spiritual master. He is acting just like a perfect spiritual master in the lives of Nalakuvera and Manigrave. They are also pramatta, completely maddened. Like in Bhagavad Gita, it is said what? Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktanam Tayapartha Chetasa. It is said Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktanam, Bhoga and Aishwarya. These two things, once Aishwarya comes, once opulence comes, then a person automatically driven by Rajogun gets into Bhoga, means he wants to enjoy that Aishwarya. And Tayapartha Chetasam, his intelligence is lost. Tayaprita Chetasam. Prabhupada is helping us to understand this Tayaparta Chetasam by giving us an example that how Maya, she has these two effects, these two energies, these two great power, and that is Avranatmika Shakti and Prakshekpatmika Shakti. What is these two? Avranatmika Shakti and Prakshekpatmika Shakti. In Avranatmika Shakti, she completely, after this Bhoga Aishwarya, once you are into it, and as you go more further into it, she will cover up your intelligence in such a way that you forget. What Prabhupada was talking about, that you forget even the sense of decency, like in this case of Managriva and Nalakuvera. They forget the sense of decency. They forgot what is right and wrong. And that's how they could stand in front of Narad Muni completely naked. Haribol Narad Muni. Completely they forgot, you know, who's standing in front of us. And like Maharaj says, you know, mere angne mein tumhara kya kaam hai. So it's like, you know, they're saying that, why did you come? What's the purpose of your coming on this side? You know, it's your problem. You came and we were enjoying, we were happy like that. You know, you came in our way. So it's like, they completely lost their, that's how, you know, the intelligence gets completely covered. That's Avranatmika Shakti of Maya. She completely covers you and you forget the sense of sin and what's sinful, what's pious, what's right, what's wrong. Finish. And then the next is Prakshapatmika. Prakshapatmika means she pulls you down. After she covers you and she entangles you more and more, driven by Rajogun, the more you become sinful, the more stringent the laws are going to bind you more and more to the material existence. And slowly, slowly she pulls you down, Prakshapatmika, she will pull you down in this material existence to such abominable, sinful lives that it will be then very, very, very difficult for one to come up to that level where he can even think of why I am living or what's the aim of my living. Even to that point one cannot come. Even to that point one cannot think. And that's because of these two very dangerous effects of Maya. That's why one has to always be very careful of Maya, and one has to always be prayerful to the Supreme Personality of God that I be not affected by it, because that's very powerful effects of Maya. That one's intelligence, taya prita chetasa, one's intelligence is completely lost. In that context only, if you see that they lost their intelligence, that's why Narad Muni, being a spiritual master for everyone, acted in a very positive way, in a very corrective way, and that's how he gave him that punishment. Like in my last lecture, when I was talking about that, how when a person loses that sense of decency and he forgets what's right and wrong, and he's completely maddened by his position, post and position, completely in the full sway of Maya, enjoying his opulences, not understanding anything what's in front of him or not. Then, as I said last time, it's very, very important that such a person be brought down again, as I said that, yeah, the sting of Daridrya, the sting of poverty, that he's brought down again to a position where then he will see Atmavat Sarva Bhuteshu, that he can actually then see other people in front of him, that how you know I am suffering and how other people are also suffering, and that's how he can then relate with other people. That's why Narad Muni gave that medicine, because the acharyas only know the right medicine to be administered for the conditioned soul's diseased condition. The biggest disease is in our heart. The biggest disease that we are bewildered by this material nature, and this kaam, krodh, moha, mad, matsarya, all these vices which are in our heart, that is covered, that's completely covered us, and that's our disease. And the and when person is completely maddened by it, then a spiritual master knows how to administer this medicine. Just like Arjuna also administered this medicine by Krishna when he surrendered to Krishna, accepting Krishna as his guru, then Krishna acted on that platform and administered him the medicine by first very mildly reprimanding him by saying, Anarya Jushtam, that you are not just a fool but an impotent fool. Impotent word is very, very painful to a Kshatriya. So that's how he administered him, very, very slightly but very nicely he administered that stinging medicine to him also, that you are an impotent fool. And then he talks about the whole Bhagavad Gita to him. So like that, the spiritual master knows exactly how to administer this medicine, and he only knows how. Even Srila Prabhupada, he could chastise only those disciples who were that surrendered, who were that ready to accept. Because as I said once, that Gaur Govind Maharaj, he has that book, you know, when good fortune arises, and he used to say that your fortune only and only and only will arise when your spiritual master will chastise you. Because the spiritual master, just like in this case, Nalakuvar Manigrave, he knew that it is required. Unless that chastisement is there, unless that's like what we say in Marathi, we say that, you know, chadi lage cham cham, vidya ye gham gham. So that unless you don't get that, you know, that's unless you then get it, that chastisement, the real understanding doesn't come to you. You can never come to that. You're not, because unless you are not surrendered to that spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada, it's not that everybody he chastised, but he only saw to those who are like that level they are surrendered. Only to those people he could do the choice devotees. He would chastise very heavily. He would chastise sometimes. But that chastisement was for their improvement, so that they come to that level of improvement. They understand that yes, where they are falling short to surrender. They are surrendered. That's why the spiritual master has accepted them for correction. But sometimes they fall short, because maybe because of the effect of Rajagun, maybe because of the effect sometimes of the mind-body play. And they don't understand, their intelligence is not so purified. So then the spiritual master knows that, and then accordingly he will administer the stinging medicine in their eyes so that their eyes open. That's why Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalokya. Gyananjana Shalokya, that Anjan is applied in the eyes of the surrendered disciple. And that is going to burn, that is going to sting. But that will be ultimately for our final benefit. That is why such heavy punishment at times is also administered, just like in this situation. Manigrave and Nalakuvar was administered very, very heavy punishment directly from the position of demigods in the association of Lord Shiva in Kailash down to earth planet as trees. Very, very heavy punishment for very, very elevated situation, from an elevated position like that. So that's how one has to be very careful about as I said in the earlier class also about opulence, because this bhoga and aishwarya, they have a very close connection. But devotees are also full of opulence. They are also full of riches. But what kind of opulence does a devotee possess? He possesses the opulence of knowledge and detachment. Because when a devotee is rightly guided by a Vaishnav guru in the path of bhakti, what is called as Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan means that, you know, that we are elevating Jai Shri Shri Radharas Bihari ki, Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai. Sanatan Dharma means that we are elevating ourselves from the temporary material existence to the eternal spiritual existence. And that is what is the path of Sanatan. Sanatan means Shashwat. That yes, we are ready now to walk on the path of Sanatan, the eternal existence, spiritual existence. So that path is called Sanatan. And the person who is guiding us on that path is called the Sadguru, the spiritual master, the Sadguru. So such a Sadguru, when he will guide us through this path to reach to that ultimate destination of eternal spiritual life, then only where our search for happiness will end, then only we will be completely satisfied. And that's why on this path of bhakti, even devotees whom we may feel are completely, you know, devoid of any richness, any opulence, but they have a very, very hidden, very special opulence with them, and that is the opulence of knowledge and detachment. They are very, very opulent in that manner. The knowledge of bhakti, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, who is Krishna? Because Krishna says, bhaktyam api janati, only by bhakti can you understand me. And on this path of bhakti, guided by such a Sadguru, when one performs the activities of bhakti, then only we will understand who is Krishna. And that is the most important thing to understand, because that understanding is actually the basis of all other understandings, all the metaphysical truths that one wants to understand about all this, what is in this material world. That is the main understanding. So they are full of that opulence, knowledge and detachment, completely detached, even though they may be possessing a lot of material opulences, but they are completely detached from it. And we have various examples, as in my last lecture I did mention about many examples like that, about Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruv Maharaj, even our Srila Prabhupada, who was bestowed by the Lord with great opulence because he was completely successful in his program of preaching. He had lot of followers and very, very wonderful surrendered disciples and so many temples, so much opulence. But all the time he was praying to the Lord that Maya should not touch me, Maya should not affect me. That's what he showed us, that one has to be always like that, careful. That's how one has to be always in that humble and meek attitude in receiving Krishna's grace in whichever way it can be. So I would like to stop here. If anybody has any comments or questions, he may ask.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the nice class. Wanted to know the context, because in yesterday's verse and today's verse, the concept of animal killing and cruelty towards animals is coming. So
I wanted to put up that point, but it's 8:30 and there is one wonderful conversation. Actually, there is one. I wanted to take up that conversation. There is one. It's 8:30. There is one conversation I thought about taking it, but I just wanted to mention one conversation of I somehow missed this point, but there is one very beautiful conversation of which Srila Prabhupada, if you remember that Cardinal Danilo, I think Prabhupada visited that time in Italy in 1973, somewhere it comes, where he met Cardinal Danilo, that devotees had arranged a meeting with Cardinal Danilo. And why they specifically arranged with him, because he was one of the very scholastic scholastic person in the Christian missionaries that time in Italy, and he had a profound effect on the youths that time. And Prabhupada, they very, very tactfully arranged this conversation where he comes directly in front of Srila Prabhupada and they have a conversation. And it's a long conversation where Srila Prabhupada talks to him about this animal killing thing. And he says that, and he does agree to that point that yes, how humans are much sophisticated, and that animals also have that same feelings just like humans, you know, they also cry when pain is there and all. But he says that though it's all that, but they don't have soul. And then Prabhupada catches him on that point. Prabhupada also talks with him about cow killing, and he says that because they don't have soul, so we can kill and eat. And there Prabhupada talks with him about thou shalt not kill. You know, that he agrees that yes, it is like that in the Bible, that it is thou shalt not kill. It is not that thou shalt not kill human being, but it is thou shalt not kill. And then in that conversation, as the conversation goes, Srila Prabhupada, comes to that point where he says that we think, I mean, it's their understanding that only humans have soul, animals don't have soul. And Prabhupada talks about that. No, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about that shloka where he talks about sarva bhuteshu, what's that? Sarva yoneshu konteya. One more shloka like that. That he talks about that how he's present in every living entity, in each and every part, he's present in each and every particle. And that the soul's existence in each and every living entity. And Prabhupada takes him on that and he says that yes, it is sinful. It is very, very sinful. And there where he talks about that this that bhogaishwarya prasakta nam taya prita chetasam, that if somebody is completely maddened by these sinful activities, if somebody is too much into sinful activity, then there is no way that he can ever uplift himself spiritually. No way. There is a wonderful conversation like that. I thought of taking up that conversation and discuss on that point also, which is also one of the points in this purport, very important, significant point according to the translation. But as I said, you know, I am focusing on the purport because I know the time limit. But yes, this point is there. And I wanted to take up that point, that discussion of Cardinal Danilo. It's a very significant, it's a very, very important conversation. It comes in many of these question-answer books of ours. And it's a very significant conversation where Srila Prabhupada smashes that point about meat eaters, you know, that how they are thinking, how that stupid understanding is that only humans have soul and animals don't have soul. There are some civilizations I read in that one book, I forgot the name, in which he talks about that there are civilizations which think that only men have soul, women don't have soul. And that's why they conduct very bad atrocities on women. So there are such civilizations also. Here we are talking about animal killing, but there are civilizations which commit like that type of very worst atrocities even on women. So that whole conversation and that points are there, but time restricts us. Bhagavatam, you know, it cannot be summed up in just half an hour or 1 hour. You can just go on discussing it for hours and hours. Here we are just highlighting some important points. That's it. Sorry.
Maybe time is less. We'll continue next. Yeah.
श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय.